going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
It's a good tune. You know what's fun? Mm. When they replay this on podcast, there's no music on it.
Yeah.
So if you just want to sing.
Oh, my God.
I know I was so beautiful.
It is my favorite thing in the world when Dana decides to sing along
in
the song.
In the morning.
And you go back to the podcast.
Sha-la-la-la-la-la.
You know, everyone thinks they can sing, and then you hear it without any music behind you, and it's like, yeah. Oh.
Oh, no,
it's
bad.
You guys are welcome to keep going.
Come
to Rio. I have no idea what he's saying in the song.
Spanish dancing and pass me a bottle, Mr. Jones.
Dude dated Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Remember they were on the cover of Rolling Stone and that huge hit. And I'm not saying they didn't have other hits, but that's kind of their hit.
By the way, for the podcast listeners, that was Mr. Jones.
No, they would have heard
they
our
heard us
rendition.
Singing it. I don't think they would have known what the hell that was from our rendition. They would have been like, I thought that was anything but Mr. Jones.
They had two other big hits.
Round Here.
Yeah. Round Here.
That did not count
big
as a big
Yellow
hit.
Taxi.
Big Yellow Taxi.
Yeah.
And the then cover. Accidentally in Love.
Really?
Accidentally.
Round Here is a way
love.
Better song, and Long December is their best song.
Well, Accidentally in Love is from Shrek.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. That's
so
why
that's
it was
why
a big
that
hit.
Was a huge hit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in Big Yellow Taxi, I to this day, anytime I hear that, I think he's saying the F word. So he's like, they paved paradise and put up a lock.
Parking
but it's
lot.
He says how somehow has the word F
no that is
or letter
in
F.
Your head
nope.
I have never heard that as long as I live.
I guarantee other people have heard it.
Okay, speaking of parking lot, we weren't going to make this a topic, but you teed this up perfectly. Did you hear there is a golf course somewhere that has put out a warning, a very public warning, like on Facebook, and it says to the man driving the black Chevy and the woman in the silver Nissan, meeting here every day
Ooh.
At 11:30, and you think no one knows what you are doing, if you don't knock it off, we are going to post video of your parking lot lunchtime tryst.
It's 11:30 a.m.?
And it's by a dumpster in a golf course parking lot. And they go on to say something like, this is a family-friendly place, and everyone knows what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. We know this is the 19th hole for you guys.
He went there. One of the reasons I did not.
It was supposed to be like 3:30 in the morning.
Put that in the stack.
11:30 in the morning, or the whatever the day. I thought it was 11:30 at night. They're doing it in the daytime.
This is
the VIP package at a golf course.
Yeah, over the lunch break.
Yeah, the drink girl,
full service.
Yeah,
lunch break.
Lunch break.
They have revealed the dirtiest cities in the United States, and I will ask you all to guess, except Sam, because he knows.
Detroit, St. Louis.
Let me give you the top 10. Let me start. Okay. Detroit and St. Louis are not in the top 10.
Whoa. Okay. Are they major cities? Like all of them are
yes.
major cities. Okay.
Yes.
New York? kind of gross because it's flat and the rain doesn't drain. That's why it stinks in the summer.
New York is way down on the list.
Okay, so Topeka. Make it close to the top 10. Mm.
Major city, Dan.
Oh, sorry.
Wichita?
We said major city.
Okay, that's why I said Wichita with 15 different syllables.
Let me ask you a different way.
Yeah.
In the top 10, where do you think Kansas City falls as the dirtiest city?
So we're in the top 10?
Yes. Ooh. Have you not seen the highways? There's crap everywhere.
If St. Louis isn't in the top 10, Kansas City doesn't deserve to be in the top 10. I say that as somebody from St. Louis, no. Our highways are gross. Everywhere in St. Louis is covered in graffiti and trash. Everywhere.
It's bad.
Everything looks fresh and new here comparatively. Fine. I'm going to say we're seventh.
Kansas City comes in the eighth dirtiest city.
And what do they mean by dirty?
Well, to be fair, if you go down and you read into the methodology of the story, which I didn't put into the stack, sorry, they specifically looked at how many people called the 311 service to complain about how dirty it is.
So that actually...
We're just bitchier.
Right. So it's less about being dirty and more about just being...
We've got
OCD.
Yeah. Yeah. New York is so far down the list because residents there walk around. They're like, yeah, it's a Tuesday. It looks normal.
They looked at sewage disposal, drinking water, littered streets. We would be the worst. We would be number one. I'm telling you.
No.
To missed garbage pickups. And they analyzed 12 million sanitation related 311 action complaints.
Good God. People.
Here are your top 10. Dallas followed by Buffalo. We're ranking
Buffalo.
We're getting worse. Dallas, Buffalo, Kansas City, followed by San Antonio, Boston, and your top five dirtiest cities: Memphis, L.A., Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte, that surprises me.
Not been there.
Followed by Sacramento, and number one by far with a bullet is Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore. Yeah. Hmm. No, I think I think there's a wind that takes all the trash from D.C. into Baltimore. It's bad.
Texas authorities are investigating a crash that killed one of their deputies. Super sad story, according to the Dawson County Sheriff's Office this week. One of their deputies died after debris from a passing vehicle struck him during a traffic stop. So officer has the car pulled over.
Yeah.
Different car going by, it says, quote, debris flies out, strikes the officer.
Kills him.
Officer dies. Could you find anywhere, Sam, not that it matters, what was the debris?
They did not specify. Based on the description in the story, it sounds like it was an unsecured load situation.
Here we go again.
You know, when you drive by vehicles that are stationary and you're moving at highway speeds, there's a lot of wind. So I'm thinking that they drove by. That extra pressure from the wind threw something off of this trailer that wasn't secured.
So
it hit the sheriff.
Last week, I think in L.A., a tire flew off the back of somebody's truck, like an old tire they were going to take into the dump or whatever. Tire flies off, goes through the windshield, and kills a driver in L.A. I bring all of this up with the Dirty City story because I have been screaming about this, John, for many years, and then Matt Fleener over at Channel 9 came in and did a ton of stories about it, that we have got to do something to clean up the stuff. I mean, there are bumpers, chairs.
We're going on a week and a half with the bumper on 69 Highway.
Yeah, it's just still there.
I think we should, like, plant.
But then also just the trash.
It.
Like, you've lived in other places. Do you not notice on our highways there is trash everywhere?
Yeah, I mean, but I lived in St. Louis, so right. The trash was...
Damn, this is nice!
It was in the gutters and driving by. I could not believe... And I think everyone should do this at some point in their life. Volunteer with, like, a local fire department or something like that to clean up a highway. I did that when I was 19.
Was it court-ordered?
Yeah, I was taking my trash for a ride and just... Whatever. No, I... worked with the local volunteer fire department, and that was one of the things. We adopted a stretch of highway, and then we went and cleaned it.
Okay.
It is insane.
What did you find?
Everything.
Go ahead and tell me.
I mean, everything. Like diapers and condoms and, you know, fast food trash is the biggest thing.
Is that why they give you the little pokey stick thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any other use for that in the world?
Homicide?
Yeah, I was going to say stabbing somebody, I guess.
Really unfortunate round of fencing.
It's to stab somebody you don't want to get anywhere near. It's really like the most insulting way to stab somebody, because you could stab them with a knife and get
so
close.
You're so vile. I don't even want to be near you.
Yeah, that's like personal. It's like, I'm right here. I can feel the soul leave your body. Not me. I just want to be back here. Just casually poking holes in here.
But all we have to do is look out our window here at the ditch next to Shawnee Mission Parkway, we can see a variety of trash.
The ditch.
Oh, I saw you something else.
The ditch.
Yeah, you said
it
ditch.
It drives me crazy, and I just don't believe there is no solution for it. Because it's a hazard. It could kill you on the highway. But then when it's dumped there, like the bumper, Sam, have you ever noticed when you're driving at a high rate of speed and you're like, maybe you don't notice the bumper on the left, that thing could fly up and kill you or somebody else.
Well, I told you about the time that I dodged a full-size standing freezer that fell off of the back of a truck right in front of me.
This is why I will not drive behind anyone carrying anything, because I don't believe, especially ladders, I'm like, there's no way I believe that you securely stored those.
It was one of those metal scrapper guys. He had one strap, and man, he had so much faith in that strap. It failed.
Hanging on by a thread.
Yeah, that red flag doesn't fill me with a lot of confidence. I don't think that you actually put it in the exact right spot. No. Yeah, I'm the same way. I will not give you. I've seen
ever
too many videos and movies and stuff like that.
You want me to believe that guy, the furniture in the back stacked like a failed game of Jenga, knows what he's doing and cares about your safety? Go around him.
Yeah,
go around him.
So let's go over the things, like the weirdest thing that you've seen, like off, because when I did that, we found three mattresses, like in the back, like
Do you know why? People put them on their roof and they think,
I'm fly
just
off.
And there's lift on those things.
Yeah.
And then they fly
it's
off.
A square, it's a rectangle.
Fun fact, if you drive over that, it will catch fire and everyone dies.
Oh, really?
The biggest question is, why don't they stop and come back to get them?
Well, I think
don't you want your mattress?
Well, not once it's touched the dirty highway. No, I'm not sleeping on that.
Not
I have no idea.
Risk of life and limb, Dan. Like on the highway, I would. Can you imagine? Could you just slow down just for a minute while I pull this mattress out of there? There's no way. Is it a Tempur-Pedic? It'd take five people.
It's a sleep number bed. I have to go back for it.
1, 3, 5, 8. What's your sleep number? 0, because you're dead. You died trying to get your mattress out of 435.
Flat.
Ladders, I think that's a big one. You see on the highway all the time.
Recliners, I see those far too often.
How?
The saddest thing, and I did it a couple times, the saddest thing was a wedding dress.
Oh.
And I was just like, that had to be, hopefully was an accident, or just...
Where was the bride?
The limo was going by with the cans rattling in the back, and then it just goes out the moonroof. Yeah!
Could have been a runaway bride.
It could have been.
Yeah.
It could have been.
Could have been.
913-586-7798. Phones are ringing. What's the weirdest thing you've ever dodged on the highway? We'll be back right after this.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Days. Yeah. This is the best band to do that bit to. Hi, podcast listeners.
I mean, nobody can hear what he's saying anyway.
Do you think he
no
knows what he was singing?
No.
Like, did it matter? It didn't. It sounds so cool. Like, I don't care.
I love Pearl Jam. I think he knew Jeremy's spoken.
Jeremy spoken, yeah.
That's
Clearly, I remember.
There had to be words on the sheet, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Did they? I don't think 10 was released with lyrics. I will say they have a Yellow Ledbetter. I was in a band. We used to cover that.
God, and I love that
song. It
was
my favorite song to cover because I never had to worry about remembering the lyrics.
Ever.
Yeah.
I think if you asked him, he would say, I'm not really sure.
He's actually said about that song specifically. He's like, it just whatever I feel like singing at that point. Just whatever I want.
Let's go to JD in Blue Springs. Hi, JD. Welcome on in.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. Go ahead.
I was just going to comment on the trashy highways.
Please.
I ride a motorcycle, and between the sand trucks that haul out of Randolph up there on 435 and near Front Street, and then the trash transfer stations that they got down in Grandview, these roads are horrible if you're riding a motorcycle. You're getting hit by all kinds of stuff.
JD, I also have heard that grass clippings, like you're not supposed to mow the grass into the street, mow it away from the street. Is that true?
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's not as slick as they say, but it is a hazard.
Okay.
You know, we talk about motorcycle safety, and JD, thank you for the call all the time. I haven't even thought about the debris side of things on the highway with motorcycles. That scares me to death.
Not that I'm in any way, shape, or form a motorcyclist, but I had a moped for a while.
How'd that go?
And I can't start it. That's the problem right now. I still have it. I need to like redo things, and I don't know. Yeah, it's bad. But when I would drive it, it gave me perspective on what motorcyclists go through, because I'm just driving that thing at like 35 miles an hour, and if it's raining, it hurts.
Yeah.
Like it's piercing. And if anything was like any dust or something was flying off of a truck in front of me, it really does bother you.
Our family has a Vespa, and I made it around the neighborhood one half of one rotation, like maybe an eighth of a mile, and I just stopped and I said, this is not for me.
Yeah, I'm gonna die.
Because someone ended up behind me and I'm like, go around!
It's terrifying.
It scared me to death.
That's why you see motorcyclists wearing long sleeves even in the dead of summer when it's 95 degrees outside, because that sand it feels like it's cutting your skin.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
It hurts.
Let's go to Charmaine in Raytown. Hey, Charmaine.
Hey. So about the trash, so when we were growing up, we did volunteer from 4-H, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, school, and we were involved in those programs enough so that we didn't want to litter. We grew up thinking, you know, littering was like a horrible thing.
Yep. Yeah.
And so now, you know, just so much irresponsibility because kids or youth are not involved in that, and neither then are the adults. Being as conscientious because they're not leading as many groups doing that as well. So I know we blame youth for a lot of things, but I think adults are also involved in that as well.
Yeah, I know that they don't do that anymore. No. Where they have like
it's
youth
liability.
Groups. It's because of the liability. Well, we're talking about it right now. Because
kids go out and pick up trash.
By the way,
side streets, that's one thing. That no one would allow a group anymore to.
Right.
Because of the debris.
Yeah, kids go clean up the highway. By the way, an officer in Texas was just killed from debris flying off a truck.
Yeah.
But go have fun and clean up the highway. You just can't do it anymore.
Well, and you had mentioned fast food trash.
Yeah.
I was on my motorcycle one time in college, and I watched a guy at a stoplight roll down his window, take his entire bag of fast food trash, the Big Mac, the whole nine, drop it out of his window onto the ground, and drive off.
Okay, we need to shame those people. We need to shame those people with full license plate.
Yeah.
Video,
yeah.
This person. We need to get back to the shaming when it comes to littering. Because when we were growing up, remember the old Indian in the...
actually an Italian.
Ironized Cody.
Yeah.
And he's crying because of all the trash in the water. That stuck with me as a child. I'm like, well, I don't want trash in the water.
I don't want to upset the Native
American.
I don't
want an Italian pretending to be an Indian either, but I didn't know that. I mean, they could have gotten a real Native American.
They could have. Because it's not like he had any lines or anything.
No,
I think.
He just cried.
Yeah, he just cried.
Let's go to Jeff in Tonganoxie.
Oh, hi.
Hi, go
Good
ahead.
To hear from you, Jonathan.
Hey, thanks, Jeff.
So I used to do a lot of service work, and I've had a couple incidences on the road. when I was coming back on 435 and had traffic on either side, and I had a guy in front of me, had a wooden chair in the back, and I saw it sliding around, and I kind of knew what was going to happen. And chair fell out of course, and so I started slowing down, had to hit the brakes, and I had, unfortunately, I had two semis behind me.
Oh, God.
I didn't hit the wooden chair, but the two semis behind me, and one of them, I mean, came within feet of hitting me, but they two, they hit each other. And then the cop showed up and got mad at me because I didn't hit the wooden chair.
Why would he be mad at you that you didn't hit the chair?
I don't know. You should have hit that chair. I'm like, okay.
What?
What? That's deer you're supposed to hit square, not chairs. Not a wing back.
I didn't know you were supposed to hit deer.
Okay, so I have heard.
You're supposed to just drive right through the deer?
You are not supposed to swerve. That the best thing you can do is just try to hit it
square on and hope.
But what scares me about that is sometimes they fly up and then they kill the person behind you.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a good friend of mine in a very large SUV strike a deer on K-10, which is, you know, the death corridor of deer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, that is it rutting season where they got the little pointy things on their heads?
Whatever. Oh, the velvet stuff, yeah.
No, yeah. So he said to me,
maybe not. That's moose.
Let me tell you what happens when you hit a deer. Follow us for more wildlife tips. he said, 1 second, your car is not totaled, and the next millisecond it is. He goes, there is no, what do I do? There's a deer. Because he was on K-10 going 70 miles an hour back and forth from Lawrence to KU game. And that collision was so violent, Jonathan, that one of the antler pieces was impaled through his tire.
Jeez.
He's got a photo of his tire, like big SUV. Think like a Lincoln Navigator or something, big SUV. And there's just this piece of thick antler sticking out of it. Like, you know, you see weird things like that during a tornado where
Like
are just through barns, right, whatever.
And eggs blown through a brick wall, yeah.
And so he said, anyone who tries to tell you what to do before you hit a deer, whatever. Mm-hmm. Because there was no preparing for it. It just happened.
It is called rutting season. It has nothing to do with the antlers. It has to do with breeding and looking for a mate.
I think they rut with the antlers.
And the reason that we say that you can't slam on the brakes or swerve is because people suck at driving. So if they try to swerve, they overcorrect, they careen off the road, and then they die instead of just the deer.
I just remember one time we were driving back to St. Louis on 70, and Henry was like 5, and he still remembers this vividly. It was like 3 cars in front of us, and it was literally, we could see this deer, and it was this beautiful, like this scene. And then it was like, oh, look at it running. It's running. And like the next second I realized it's running onto the highway, and the car, like 3 cars in front of us hit it, and it went spinning up into the air like a helicopter. Spraying gore and whatever.
And rut.
Yeah, and we had blood on our windshield and rut all over, yeah.
Is that rut?
I need to get the windshield wiper fluid that is anti-rut.
We will be back with much more, including my adventure with a turtle today. That happened.
More wildlife.
Oh, I cannot wait to talk to you about wildlife. You're listening to Dana and Parks with Jonathan Weir. Sam, Weir had never seen the video of the bench chasing dog that slammed into my car.
Now, I do believe it was a dog chasing bench.
Yeah, it's dog chasing bench. She is saying it wrong.
The bench was chasing the dog.
Yeah, it was. It was.
It's the dog chasing bench. The bench, I don't want to get into a grammatical argument here, but the bench is the subject whatever.
Sam,
so
yes.
Have you ever tried to explain to someone that a dog tethered to a bench struck your car? Because the more I try to explain to people what happened,
it's
the
harder
more
and harder to
ridiculous
believe.
It sounds.
Yeah.
I said, if you told somebody this happened, Weir goes, no one would believe it. Like, literally no one would believe that just happened.
I would believe it happened to you. Like, right. If you came in, you were like, I was abducted by aliens, I'd be like, where's the video?
I'm sure that
makes sense. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Was it fun?
I just showed him the video, and he goes, oh, my God.
Yeah. Did you notice when I had those Dana and Parks action figures made, that big AI thing that's going around on
was
the internet right now?
Was there a bench behind it?
I added a metal bench to yours. Just for you, Dana.
I was so traumatized, and everyone online was like, oh, yeah? Well, what happened to that poor dog? I'm like, I don't know. He took off running like with a crazy person with the bench behind him like a fly went by.
Yeah, because the greatest thing about that is the expression on the dog's face. Like, he's like, I don't know what's happening. What is going on?
I don't want to be here either, man.
Why is this thing following me?
Someone was like, shame on you for not helping that dog. I'm like, that's how we got into this problem in the first place.
Right.
And the dog took off. Like, yeah. There was no chasing. What was that, an Australian sheep? The kind sheep that dog, wrangles yeah. sheep and has yeah, blue eyes?
Australian Shepherd.
Yep. That dog was going 100 miles an hour with that bench in tow.
Yeah.
That no, struck my car. And you know that commercial, is it State Farm that says we've covered a few things because we've seen it? They
we
have not
farmers.
Seen that.
Bum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, bum, bum.
No, I no, need to be in an ad.
Yeah. Yeah, that would, it would, it, well, I think
dog it's, chasing bench hit your car.
You know,
we've covered a few things because we've seen a few things.
Much maligned brand of car, but the Tesla, that's one of the saving graces of it, is no one, your insurance isn't going to believe that that happened. Yeah. Like, who did you hit? Come on.
It was a bench
here's
chasing
the video
a dog.
Of the freaking dog with wide eyes and terror in his face. He didn't even care that he hit your car.
No,
he just kept going because
no.
he was so afraid of the bench.
And I was trying to help him. I really was. I was like, let me help get you.
Yeah.
No. Well, don't ever try to help a bench chasing dog.
But just that dog doesn't understand it. Just like if somebody, you know, tethered you to a chair and you start walking, you were like, why is this chair following me?
I hate to ruin the plot.
I get why that would be so terrifying, because you don't expect an inanimate object to move.
Right.
Oh, you know that dog pulled a little bit and the bench moved like two or 3 inches and it just...
He's like, I'm gone.
It's
get me out of here.
Me.
I don't mean to ruin the plot of the classic children's hit, A Fly Went By, but I'm pretty sure at the very end of The Fly Went By, because the fly was chasing the dog that was chasing the goat that was chasing, you know, it just goes on and on. Isn't it something stuck to the cow? And it's not a bench, but it's something like that, where a cow stepped in something and he's running from that thing.
Right.
And that set off that entire chain reaction.
Yeah.
Did you not read A Fly Went By to your children?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I blocked out a lot of those years, too.
Yeah. I was mostly drunk. Yeah.
It was a beer can chasing the cow.
I was raised Catholic.
Chasing
drinking is definitely part of it.
All right, speaking of, this is in the stack today.
All right. We're
not making this
That's
about the Pope.
Segue.
We got to do it. I did not think you'd tee that up so beautifully, but you did. Mm. When is an appropriate time to take a selfie at a funeral?
A selfie?
Well, wait a minute.
The answer's never. The answer's never.
Are you an influencer at your father's funeral and you're dressed in a skimpy gown and
you
perk him up while you take a selfie with your dead dad?
Never.
Okay.
That actually happened.
Perk him up?
You perk him up.
Weird. There's this photo of this girl.
Squeeze
and
your arms together.
Oh.
You perk him up.
Spilling out of her dress.
Okay.
And she takes a selfie with dead dad behind her. That is what is happening with the sad recent passing of the Pope.
Yeah. With the picture you're talking about, the interesting thing is you can see the dad rolling over already.
Right. In the grave.
In the grave. Right behind her.
So
anyway.
Here's my question. There is a wider topic here. There really, really is. Maybe we didn't have cell phones around the last time the last Pope passed, but I think we did.
We definitely did.
I don't remember this being a thing the last time the Pope died.
When did John Paul II die? I mean, we're not considering Ratzenberger in there, who just died a couple of years ago.
I mean,
that's not the same, because he wasn't actively the Pope.
Was he not selfie-worthy? Is that what you're saying?
Well, he stepped down. He wasn't the Pope anymore, so I don't think it was as big of a deal.
Yeah, the previous Pope stepped down.
Yeah, and then that's how Francis became Pope, but John Paul II died in... When did he die?
Maybe we were just better people back then. So listen to this. Mourners paying their final respects to Pope Francis have been disturbed by others snapping selfies beside his body in his open casket, with some even posting smiling photos online.
By the way, John Paul II died in 2005, so nobody was flipping their Nokia around.
No, there were camera phones back then.
There would have been camera phones, but probably not like the...
You child.
Latest iPhone?
I mean, it wouldn't be a great picture, but no, they definitely had camera phones in 2005.
Selfie!
Yeah, that was a thing.
Why... Let's not make this about the Pope. I think when Aretha Franklin died, one of the family members also took a selfie with Aretha Franklin in the casket behind. I don't understand the need... At the cemetery, at the funeral, at the wake, why would you pull a phone out ever. I'm not making this about the Pope. There are some of you listening who will say, oh, hell, this happened at my mom's funeral. People were getting out and taking photos. Why would you even want that to be a memory?
Because you can post it online and get attention. Now, what
your deceased relative?
Yeah. So what?
Well, Aretha.
When you say we were better people, I think we were better people. We just didn't have as many opportunities to be awful people. And what gave us the opportunity to be awful was we didn't have Facebook or Instagram or anything back then. Maybe LiveJournal or Friendster or something like that. But nobody was posting dead selfies to that. So I think that that's the problem, is people are doing that so that they can post it to their social media accounts and then get whatever likes. And guess what? It doesn't matter if people like things anymore when you post them. All that matters is, does it get engagement?
Does it go viral?
Yeah, does it go viral? And people will do that. I bet there's people who will take pictures smiling next to the Pope's corpse just to be like, look, I got like 50 million clicks on this just because people want to see the jerk who took a picture next to the dead pontiff.
So tens of thousands of people have flocked to St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City to see the late Pope, with many using it as a grim photo op rather than a moment of somber reflection. Here's the difference with this selfie, and one that wouldn't involve like an Aunt Marge or something.
Mm-hmm.
You are surrounded by the Catholic faithful, all streaming in for this one moment to say a silent prayer. There are guards on either side of him. With Aunt Marge, you can kind of almost get away with it because I'm going to take a picture of Aunt Marge. You're doing this awful behavior in front of a line full of people that's they've all probably been standing out there for hours to go in for their one moment. You are so narcissistic. You don't even care that you're doing this horrible thing in front of so many other people watching you do this horrible thing.
It's
that makes
death.
It even worse.
Yeah, but again, what is the consequence of doing something like that anymore? There isn't. There's no negative consequence because worst case scenario, you post it and a bunch of people get angry at you online. Well, if you're the kind of person that takes a picture with the Pope, specifically the dead Pope, then you're not going to care. You're going to go, good, I got engagement. That's the most important thing, is I got attention. Negative or positive, I can't tell the difference anymore, and I don't care. I just want the attention.
The sentence that will just have you, shaking your head.
Mm-hmm.
Is a tourist from Britain, Martin Gilsnan, who says, and I quote, people were being asked to put their selfie sticks away when they got to the front.
Oh, they brought the full selfie stick.
What is wrong with people?
That is so 2015.
I better spin this around a little bit. If you're the corpse, do you care if people are taking selfies with your body?
Oh, it would be way funnier if it was me.
Yeah,
and I'm lying there.
I wouldn't care.
That I then pop up and go, smile! Photobomb! Whoop, whoop!
That actually would be awesome. Right. They would drop their phones and pee their pants. Yeah, I would. That would be great. Yeah.
They were told earlier, by the way, there are no photos allowed in the Sistine Chapel. No one cared. They just did it anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, what if you're not part of the picture and you just take a picture of the deceased Pope?
No.
I wouldn't do that.
I don't think it's respectful to do that. If you took one at the entrance of the Basilica, you know, showing the line and then the coffin is like 100 yards that way, I don't have a problem with that, Sam. I don't think it's necessary, but
what about
I wouldn't
the journalists? I mean, we can see it on every news story.
Yeah.
You're saying it's the same thing, publishing it for
on your Insta?
The purpose of journalism is the same as publishing it for your Insta and likes?
No, it's not the same.
When we get back, I am going to ask, though, do you have someone in your family that does this at the funeral?
What's the etiquette now? Is it wrong?
Yes. Why? Why?
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying that people are going to do it. So, be honest, the person in the casket
never looks good. That's what my mom.
Oh, no, they look.
My mom would always we would walk away. I hated the viewing. I never want to go up and view. I'm not a viewer.
Yeah.
Mom would come down and sit down. She'd go, he just doesn't look good up there. She always says that. Like, she's surprised. He just doesn't look good.
Why wasn't he?
He's dead. He's dead, Mom. We don't generally look good in that light.
A family member who died of a heart attack, and he was dead for a few days, and his mouth was open.
Yeah, they sew it.
And they sewed it shut, but they didn't do a good job.
So you can see it. And so I am not a viewer. I don't want to go up there.
But it popped open during the funeral.
Oh, God.
It popped open during the funeral.
Wow.
Yeah, like that. So I hope people were taking pictures of that. That would have been...
Jonathan,
I'm saying from my perspective, I actually don't care. If people come to my funeral and want to take selfies with the corpse, I don't care. If you want to put Groucho glasses on me. So I don't care.
I'm not
I'm dead.
I will never ever be
get
in a casket.
Get something out of my dead body now. Nope. I don't care.
Google selfie with the casket. You will get results.
Oh, God, okay. Help us.
We'll do it. We'll take it. The phones are already ringing. I also don't love the cemetery photo, and I'm going to tell you about that when we get back because someone in our family did that. 913-586-7798. Back with much more on Dana and Parks straight ahead. Welcome back to Dana and Parks. We are thrilled to have Jonathan Weir sitting in this afternoon, one of my favorite people on the planet, to help facilitate our very important discussion about funeral selfies. Jeez. And do you have family members who have done this? And the quick story that I will tell you that I've always found very bizarre, it was after the burial of one of my grandparents. We were at the small town cemetery where they are buried, and all the family was in, of course. And as we were leaving the cemetery, I heard like photographer directions. Like, okay, get in, you. Okay, a little to the left, over there, moving just a little. Okay, right there. John, we can't see you in the back. There we go. And I turn around. I'm like, what are they doing? They had gathered around the family plot, and there was one big headstone that said right, W-R-I-G-H-T. They took a photo as a family. You know, that probably was our great-great-great-grandfather or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I thought, what are you
doing?
Doing?
Yeah.
You're going to put that on the mantle? Why?
We, at my aunt's funeral last year, we took a big family photo. My Uncle Greg organized it because he's a photographer. And he got us all like in line. He's very bossy. It was like we're all mourning. And I
okay,
don't,
everybody smile.
But here's the thing. I got why we did that. And we didn't do it around the casket. She was cremated, so there wasn't a viewing anyway. But I got it because it was like, how often are we all together? Like, how often are we all? But and the next time we all meet, there's going to be one less.
Right. We can make it a game. Yeah. Who's not going to be here next time? Why not just flip it around and have the green space behind you?
We didn't do it at the
tombstone.
We did it in the funeral home. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I get that one because as you mentioned, you're all together and not everybody's all together all the time. So you document
unless someone dies on three, say colon cancer.
But that's the thing too, is like you're not going to take a great picture that day.
No,
it wasn't before the service either. It was after the service when you're all dehydrated.
Jimmy's next on three.
Let's go. Come on. We've got odds on it. Bob in Overland Park. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Okay.
Loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay. Love your show. But that's kind of where my point was. 45 years ago when there wasn't any social media, I was in the photography business. We had a family funeral, and I had family members on both sides of the don't take pictures and please can you share those with me. And so we took some, and we can't make everybody happy, but
right.
It was a significant family event, and some people wanted to have tasteful documentation of it. We did not open the casket and take selfies,
right?
But it was a significant grandparent, and everybody was wanting something. So I don't think selfies in a funeral are a good thing.
I think selfies are way more inappropriate than what we're talking about, where it's just one big family photo.
Bob, from a practical standpoint, just the nature of a selfie, your gigantic head is in the foreground,
right.
And the person that you are supposed to be showing off is way fuzzy in the background.
Yeah, it's because it's about you. It's not about them.
And the
it's
more just risque the outfit, the better, obviously.
What, on the corpse?
Well, both.
Okay. We are going to end that conversation there. Much more straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Please stick around in the 5 o'clock hour. We have an actual cowboy poet on the show.
I'm really looking forward to this.
Cowboy poetry.
Yeah.
Cannot wait. We'll be back right after the top of the news with Dan Weinbaum.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.